the tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy.
Everybody, what's happening? Welcome to the Tomboy Brunch. I am your hostess with the mimosas, Katrina Chambers, and excited to be with you for another Saturday to enjoy sports, entertainment, and mimosas. And I don't know if y'all can feel my energy and see me grinning through your speakers, but I want to start off this podcast first before I introduce my first guest with talking about how Thursday night Beyonce came to her hometown of Houston, Texas, and threw down. Woo! You guys, I went to her show, and it's something that has been on my bucket list, actually. She killed it on award shows, any special she does, releasing new videos, anytime, you know. So I knew it was going to be dope. I knew the show, her production, top-notch. But seeing it live, man, and seeing it floor seats, center stage, on the floor, live and in person, man. First of all, DJ Khaled came out, the hype man, the DJ, we the best. He came out hit after hit after hit and got us really, really hyped. And Beyonce proceeded to give 2 hours hit after hit after hit. She told the story. She took it back to her first album, Dangerously in Love. Me, Myself, and that first album when B came out, that was my stuff. So it was a really great, great show. I mean, like I said, it was really no different from what you see on TV. Now, I will say that I expected live and in person, she does something even more over the top that you don't see on the award shows. But no, she is just that kind of intensity, that kind of show, that kind of stage production transfers over into her live show. And it was still just as great, just as enthusiastic, a sold out crowd, people everywhere. I mean, you see cell phone lights everywhere. And her crowd, very diverse, very just people of some people you would think live your next door neighbors. You look on your other side and you see somebody that you probably would never think you'd ever be in the same room with, let alone the Coliseum. So Beyonce came to town and did her thing. I can check that off my bucket list. I saw B in concert and she is a beast. And if you want to see a little clip of it, go to the Tomboy on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. I was posting little videos and little pictures of me in the house. Big shout out to Willie D, who was a couple of rows ahead of me sitting in the house. Ghetto Boys, if y'all don't know that, definite H-Town royalty there with Willie D from the Ghetto Boys. So now that I've gotten that out the way, today's guest, someone who I am super, super excited about. This 14 seasons in the NFL defensive end, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos, has been retired and has also been the author, writer, creator, and executive producer of a new animated series on Netflix called Kulapari, An Army of Frogs.
Back to the desert, Scorpion. Gee, come on.
Not a chance, Croaker.
It's time for battle, not banter.
Not the gooseberries.
Daryl, how come I always have to be the scorpion?
They have armor, G, and you have...
Belly power?
Padding. We have to work on your reflexes.
Think fast!
Please help me welcome to the brunch, to the table, lift our glasses to Mr. Trevor Price. Trevor, how you doing?
Thanks for having me. It's pronounced Cooler Party.
Cooler Party, okay.
People are getting used to the pronunciation of the word. Kind of like Thor's hammer, Mjolnir. That word is spelled all kinds of wrong. But, yeah, it's called Cooler Party, and the word Cooler Party actually means poison in Aboriginal language. I came up with this idea for a poison. You know, the thing about the Outback is, Outback's a beautiful place. It's also one of the most deadliest places. So all those animals and all those deadly creatures gave them all personalities and backstories and named them, all the poisonous ones, gave them powers and kind of mixed it all up with Aboriginal culture and spit this thing out. It's literally that easy.
Wow. That is very interesting. Where did this come from in between a 14-season career in the NFL? Like, how did Cooler Party develop out of that?
It didn't develop out of that because I've always done this. I've actually been creative and write and music and all those creative things before I started playing football. So as a kid, I was hyperactive. But you're hyperactive on both sides of it. So I couldn't sit still. And if I had to sit still, my imagination ran like I was running. You know what I mean? So you wind up learning how to make music. You wind up you draw, and your imagination just kind of takes you these weird places until you can go outside the next day. So I could not sit still. And I believe my athletic ability and my creative ability actually come from the same place. Now, I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
I'm not. Yeah, it's not. Most people.
So you've been doing, this has been a passion of yours before, during, and after football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, athletics were a passion of mine. I love soccer. I love played tennis at a high level. I've just picked up golf the last 2 years, but that's part of being hyperactive. So if you're a hyperactive and hyper-focused kid, you add time and money to that, like the NFL does, and all of a sudden you wind up with a show on TV.
Oh, wow. So you use your gifts all the way around, both the physical and the natural gifts and talent to get you to this point. So Cooler Party has always been there, in other words. And so how did it get from an idea or a concept, or where you started out, you have novels. This series is based on your books, correct?
Yeah. So I wrote it as a movie script some probably 10 years ago. I had agents at the time at ICM, and they shot the script around Hollywood. People read it, and they were like, it's really different and really exotic and interesting, but we need to make Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs Part 2. And this is not that, you know what I mean? So everybody's, Hollywood has this weird thing where they all chase whatever was successful.
Yes.
Instead of chasing what was good. And that's how we got Game of Thrones. The HBO chased what was good, not what was successful. And that is the most successful TV show in probably history, right? So they did, however, find me a book deal. So my publisher, I sent them a treatment. I sent them the script. I got some artwork done, some key art of some of the characters and whatnot. And they flipped out. I mean, they loved it. And we were doing a deal a couple of days later. But at the same time, I was selling Cooler Party to Cartoon Network. So I was doing a book deal and a Tubi deal, a TV deal that was separate of each other at the same time. Cooler Party stayed with Cartoon Network for 2 years until I bought it back from them. And when I bought it back, the book started coming out. Yeah, the book started coming out. And the books have done okay, but the books really were away from... The books honestly, because they're fully illustrated and they're full color. They were kind of like storyboards, mm-hmm. because they, again, Calipari was always supposed to move and speak and not be just red. You know what I mean? I started, I gave myself a green light, and I started production on it and on the series without any help. And I said, when I started having meetings with TV studios and television companies, those meetings were 10 minutes. It was like, look, I'm making this. Do you want to jump on board or not? Because the train had left the station. And some, all of them, all three meetings I had said basically yes. But I picked Netflix.
Wow. And so you were doing this still, was this still with an agent, or was this time around the meeting just you?
Without agent. Because when I had my agent, I wound up knowing everybody in Hollywood. And I think people kind of knew us. I was selling other scripts and other projects around town. I had a project at HBO. I had one at ABC. And so people kind of knew if Trevor calls, take the call. He might have something interesting to say.
A lot of times
I took the call and I had nonsense. They were like, yeah, that doesn't work for us. But when I decided to stop pitching ideas and decided to look for partners, the conversations became different. Then I became in control of the conversation.
Mm.
It was like, I'm not selling you anything. I've already started. Do you want to be... Are you in or are you out? This is a 10-minute decision. You know, this doesn't take a whole lot.
Excellent.
It doesn't take a whole lot of wrangling and let me talk to my boss.
Back and forth.
Okay, while you talk to your boss, I'll be in production.
It was an age of war. The frog tribes were driven back into the amphibolands by the crushing attacks of the scorpions. The veil still protects us, for now.
Nobody's born a hero, little warrior, but you can do anything if you try hard enough.
It's time for battle, not banter.
Nothing, Gooseberries!
We don't need warriors, Daryl.
The veil keeps us safe. The Calipari died to keep us safe.
You will never be a Calipari!
I heard that. Well, it is awesome. For those that don't know, I've watched the first couple of episodes, and I really, really enjoyed it, Trevor. I mean, I thought it was going to be more for a younger crowd, but it describes it as young adult. It is not right.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I got caught up in that quick little, you know, 28 minutes. It was like,
I decided a long time ago and very early that if I was going to do something in that world of animation, I was going to do it differently because, you know, Marvel and DC, as much as I love those properties, they play hard and fast and loose with stuff. There's no way the characters will never die. They never get hurt. There's no way to stop the Hulk. There's no way to stop Thor. I decided to put in fail safes for all the characters. And I kill off some of the characters. Spoiler alert, some of people's favorite characters. But I do that because I think if you're dealing with poisonous animals and real world kind of things like water, it can't be boinks and zoinks. You know what I mean? You have to treat it with respect. And if you're dealing with the horrors of war, even though they're, you know, talking animals, it is a war. They're in the middle of a war. So you have to treat it like a war. And war has casualties, and war is sad, and war is it's real. You know what I mean? So that's it is for kids. No question. I have a 10-year-old son, and him and his friends love it. But they love it because of those things. They think what I learned very quickly is you never talk down to a 10-year-old. If you talk down to a 10-year-old. They will abandon everything you're telling them. If you talk up to them, they'll come with you. You have them forever. So all the kids that have watched it that are 10, 11, they'll be Calipari friends all their life.
Interesting. Interesting. So for those of us or those listening who haven't seen Calipari, because it's just been out now for a little over 2 weeks, how would you describe it?
I have heard it. How I describe it is really not that important. I have seen on Twitter that a lot of people describe it as Game of Thrones. I've seen plenty, and what I do is they're not sending this stuff to me because I think a lot of people don't know I created it, which is fine, which is what I want. But there was one kid on Twitter who said, "Why watch Game of Thrones when it's Kulapari and Army of Frogs?" You know, I've seen that kind of tweet several times. So it's very much long lead.
Well, that says a lot.
Yeah, it does. And I've never watched Game of Thrones. That's the thing.
The scorpions are coming. We can't rest until we're done. We don't know when. Maybe in a week. Maybe in an hour. We must be ready. Or the Amphibolands will fall.
So yeah. You have 13 episodes on Netflix. Yeah. So how did you go from this being a movie to becoming a part of the Netflix collection?
We pitched it to them. I started production on the series, and they're one of the main executives actually knew the books before we walked in, and he had read them.
Wow.
So it was kind of like getting a yes in the room to an extent. The issue was I had to kind of change some things because my original idea was to make 3 seasons, each season based on one of the books. And they were like, by the time you get done making all 3 of those seasons, the books will be 10 years old. So why would you do that? So shove them all into one season and we'll move on to something else. And that was the best note they could have given me because I've written more stories. And those are the stories I want to tell.
Right. And Netflix is a great platform for you to do multiple stories. So it's safe to say that a season 2 will be forthcoming.
It is safe to say, but I have not heard yet. I mean, but I would nod, wink, wink, say, safe to say.
Right. So what is next for the Kulapari? You went from books to now a series on Netflix. What do you see in the future for your show, for animation? Is it more projects in the works? You said you also like music. Yeah. What else?
Yeah, there's more Kulapari because Kulapari is my Star Wars. So it will live on forever in several thousand, ways and inclinations. And what I'm working on a Kulapari movie, a CGI movie called The Hiding War. The next book in the series comes out next September 2nd. There's comic books that are out right now. There's Kulapari comic books that are out right now. 2 of them just came out. The 3rd one comes out next month. The 4th one comes out in November.
That is awesome. Where can we get the comic books? Is it online or?
I think you have to go to a comic book shop because I do is I don't sell anything. I make it. Someone else sells it. So I have no idea. To be quite honest, the people have asked me where can I get them, and I'm like, I have no idea. Go to your local comic book shop.
Trevor, you need to find that out. We want to support you. You need to find that information out. I'm going to find it out from people.
I looked on Amazon one day, and one of them sold out. The other one is 2 copies left. So I am sorry.
Oh wow. Well, so Amazon is one option, then we do know that. But another question about the series, who are some of the voices in there? Because the Scorpion King, I kept trying to place his voice. He sounds so familiar. Who is the voice of the Scorpion King?
That's Keith. That's Keith David from Keith Princess and the Frog. Yeah, that's evil Keith David.
Yeah.
That's who it is. That's his voice. The old frog Ogier is Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. One of the mercenary lizards, the female one named Skink. That's Cree Summer. Who else? The Spider Queen is Wendy Malick from Hot in Cleveland. So there's a lot of good voice talent. I was there when they recorded, so it was actually big fun, and to listen to them speak my character's words was cool. What was even cooler was when those words were turned into Japanese, and Spanish and German.
Oh, wow.
And
how much of choosing who was going to lend the voice for which character was up to you?
All of it.
You're the creator, the writer,
yeah.
executive producer. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So were you instrumental in casting as well?
Yeah, I was, because I had to. But it was more along certain voice actors you just kind of go with, because when they bring you Mark, when they bring you Luke Skywalker, you just say yes. And when they bring you Keith David, mm-hmm. you just say yes. You know what I mean? But the other ones that were going to get, like, the main character, Daryl, I think I listened to maybe 12 different actors until I settled on Josh Keaton. He does all the Spider-Man stuff, all the animated, but he's animated Spider-Man. That's who he is. So,
yeah, his voice sounded familiar.
Yeah, it's everything
wow.
you have to. And, but what happens is they give you voice recordings of them doing other stuff. So you have to kind of pretend they were talking as one of my characters, even though they were reading something from something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that took a little while,
yeah.
but I got it down. Now that I have it down, it's pretty easy to do now. Phil Lamar is in it.
Right.
Phil Lamar, he plays the Lizard Mercenary, Captain Killara. He's really good as Killara. He's very swarthy, you know what I mean? Very,
yeah.
Kind of like rub your hands together, like nasty. It's great. He did a great job. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I literally went from watching The Get Down to watching Koolapari, Army of Frogs, and was, you know, just as entertained. It, you know, it's different as those two are. I was really entertained. I mean, it's great. Again, I think it's going to do well. And knowing the books and the comics that are out now and forthcoming, and I see the Star Wars. You're right. This is a brand. This isn't a one-off here. This is a journey,
it's
great.
Designed.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was always designed like that from the very beginning. So I tried to design a universe, not tell a story. So that's mm-hmm. what I said. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, did you also aspire to become an NFL player? Was that something that you wanted to be also?
Not really, but I remember as a kid knowing that I'm Jamaican. My parents are Jamaican, so not like my parents mm-hmm. grew up Pittsburgh Steelers fans and all like that. I always knew I was going to probably play pro football because I loved the game, but I was also faster than everybody else, but also bigger than everybody else. So I kind of knew that was going to happen in some sense of the word. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I
naturally.
Yeah, you could kind of see it when I was a kid. When I was young, you could easily see it. When I got older, it was a little wonky. But
where did you grow up?
Orlando, Florida.
Okay. Okay, good, good, good. Well, and speaking of the NFL, do you do any commentating or sports analyst work now, or you based
nope.
out of Maryland?
Yeah, I live between Baltimore and D.C., yeah, so I do none of that. I tried it for a couple of years, and I didn't think I was that good at it, to be honest. Some people
yeah.
thought I was great at it.
No.
When I look back at it, I was not that good, to be honest.
Well, you definitely found a niche here with Koolapari, and not even a niche. It's just something that you've always done. And like you said, now you've just introduced it to the world. And I guess it's safe to say that the NFL gave you that platform. Like you say, once you hit the meetings, and then it was all on you, and you were
yeah.
able to kind of control how you were putting it out there. Which is,
yep. well,
you know, ultimately what you want to have, right? And that's awesome. So a little off subject, but not. This week has been kind of a crazy week in the news again with police brutality against Black men, you know. And I have been asking several players, retired and current, two questions. And I want to ask you these two questions, too. The first is, how do you feel about Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem, and do you disagree with him?
No, I don't
do
disagree.
You agree
with him,
or disagree
with him?
Actually,
it's neither. You know what I mean? I've always taken a stance of, kind of like the military taking a stance of, we protect the rights of people to be able to do that. You know what I mean? So I am 100% behind the facts of it and not the opinions of it. The facts are, you are allowed to do this in this country. And I am 1,000% behind that. The same way a lot of the military guys are. They said, this is why I pick up a gun. So he can do that. So whatever his stance is, kneel, sit, whatever it is, this is what this cut. I think America stands for that more than it does dividing, you know. Oh, he should stand. He should sit. He should do this. He should do that. No, he should do what his freedoms allow him to do. So that's the stance I think.
Which includes, right, and those freedoms include his choice for a silent protest in the form of taking a knee.
So, 1,001,000,000%.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trevor, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I've been trying to get an interview with you for a couple of weeks now, and I'm so glad that we were able to make it happen. And
absolutely,
when the new comic book comes out, shoot us a letter, shoot us an email. We want to have you back to talk about it. And again, it's been great. Netflix, everybody, 13 episodes of Koolapari, An Army of Frogs. It's a great animated series created by NFL 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos, now creator and all things Koolapari, Mr. Trevor Price.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. So again, Trevor, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and have a great day. Next up is The Pregame with Adam Bianco. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Katrina. This is Adam from thepregamenews.com, a.k.a. The Pregame, that keeps you updated on all your daily sports news every morning in 2 minutes or less. So here are your headlines in that same time. The big story of the week was following the protests in Tulsa and Charlotte, and of course, the sports world's reaction to it. Everyone from Cam Newton, Richard Sherman, Steve Kerr, Colin Kaepernick, and many more came out strongly opposing what is happening in this country, including Steve Kerr. As we mentioned, the Golden State Warriors head coach said the American people should be disgusted with the recent police shootings. Richard Sherman, the Seahawks cornerback, spoke very passionately during his press conference on Wednesday before walking off stage 2 minutes later without taking any questions. On the NBA side of things, the NBA Players Association is looking to partner with the NBA, as NBA players are not allowed to protest against the anthem. They must stand. That is in the rules and the guidelines. So looking to partner and find ways where the players can speak out and be involved in the community. In other news, we have the Oakland Raiders still looking to move to Las Vegas. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, said, whoa, hit the pause button real quick. Even though Las Vegas has agreed to put up money for the stadium, Roger Goodell says Las Vegas may not be ready for it. The Raiders also might be staying in Oakland, as there's a contingent of people that are putting up money to renovate the stadium. The Chargers not feeling the same thing, as they're not confident about the referendum in San Diego to pass and may be on the move to join the Rams in Las Vegas. Sticking in the NFL, a rash of injuries have ravaged specific NFL teams, including the Minnesota Vikings, who have lost Adrian Peterson potentially for the year, as he could be out for a couple months with a knee injury. Doug Martin, a running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is out 3 weeks. And the Browns aren't doing too hot like usual. RG3 is going to be gone potentially for the year. And rookie wide receiver who's leading the team in reception yards, Corey Coleman, is out for the time being as well. As we look towards the MLB, former NFL QB and Florida Gator Tim Tebow made his first appearance in a New York Mets uniform during their instructional camp. There were about 70 members of the media on hand on Monday to see it in action. And lastly, if you can't decide how to propose to your girlfriend, Georgetown is making it easy for you during home basketball games, as the Hoyas have put together a proposal package for you to propose to your lady. Don't worry, if she says no, you get your money back. That's all I have for you today. Make sure you check out thepregamenews.com for all the sports news right in your inbox every morning, thepregamenews.com. Back to you, Trina.
I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy.
Because ladies love sports too.
I'm a tomboy.